Good morning, everyone. I invite you to follow me on these verses. When I was reading this week, I tried to see this verse with a different eye, the eye of Mary. Because many times we look all the passage, think about Jesus, but I never, really, personally, I never try to really analyze the Mary part on this. What she feel? And answer the question, that song, a beautiful song, they say, Mary, did you know? No, she didn't know. She didn't know. And the challenge for today is exactly see this using Mary's shoes. And we can learn from her life. So from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 45, just follow. I read very slowly so you can understand the whole big picture. In the 60th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and we are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." How would this be? Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in a hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her." Matthew chapter 1. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord has commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. When you read this verse, we tend to go from one event to another very fast. It's very fast. But this happened like 9 months. 9 months. We tend to focus on the miracle. We tend to focus on the conception, on the birth of Jesus Christ. And many times we almost forget Mary and what she had to go through. Today I invite you to look at Mary, find some lessons through her life. And the first lesson I learned reading this text is that Mary gave up her own dreams to fulfill God's plans for her life. The Bible says that Mary was a virgin, pledged to be married a man called Joseph from the line of David. The Bible does not say Mary's age, but probably was around 16, was a teenager. And it was exact that time when the angel came. I invite you to read and think of this verse with Mary's eyes. The engagement ceremony at the time was a lot more serious than today. What's happened at the time is there was a party between these two families, the husband or the groom and the bride. There is a party. And on this party, the two families made a pact, a contract, a covenant, I don't know how, between this family. And the groom would pay a dowry, and if he could not pay, he could pay through his work. And we have the example in the Bible, and anybody remember who did this work? Jacob. He worked because he doesn't have money, so he worked for his father-in-law to marry with Rachel, okay? So this is in the Bible. But there is one catch in this ceremony, that after that ceremony, they were considered husband and wife already in this engagement ceremony. But they need to live 1 year separate without having a sexual relationship. 1 year separate. And only after 1 year, they have the wedding ceremony. And only after that, they can live together. 1 year. During this 1 year, they were considered already husband and wife. The man or the groom, he needs to prepare the house. He cannot go to the war. He was forgive, he doesn't need to go to the military service, okay? So he needs to prepare his house. The woman needs to prepare the wedding dress. Thank you, the dress. And 1 year later, they have this huge ceremony, the celebration. So was exactly in this 1 year between the engagement ceremony and the wedding ceremony that the angel came to Mary. But it's easy for us because we know the end of story. It's easy for us because you have our theology, our history in our minds. But think about Mary, 16 years old. An angel came to her and say, hey, you be the mother of the Messiah. You be pregnant. She was only 16. Where is her dreams? And imagine all preparation. Imagine all money. Do you know what it is to prepare a wedding here, yeah? The limousines, the whole thing that we have here. Imagine, the family was prepared, everything. And the angel came to her and say, you will be pregnant without husband. I'm a virgin, she said. I don't have a husband. How can I be? So it's easy for us today because you know the end of the story. But my question is, what made Mary give up her own dreams? First of all, she knew that God's dreams to her life was superior to hers. Mary was willing to give up her dreams so that God's will would be reflected or fulfilled in her life. And my question is, what are your dreams today? What are your dreams? Maybe for some are here, your dreams have not been happened yet. Maybe for some of here, you have a dream, but God had another purpose for you. And how have you reacted to that? As a servant of God, Mary remembered very well Proverbs 16, verse 1, when it said, to humans belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord come the proper answer of the tongue. We can have a dream. We can make plans. But the last answer comes from the Lord. I remember I and Andrea when we were engaged 22 years ago. And I and Andrea, we were in a park. And we start to talk about kids. Okay, we'll be get married. So what do you want? How many kids do you want? And this kind of stuff. And said, okay, one is two is not enough. Two is okay. More than three is a lot of work. So this was at the time, okay? So we decide, okay, so two. Okay, two. One will be a boy, we can call Asaf. And one will be a girl, and we can call Elizabeth. Okay, deal. Deal. And God gave us Asaf and Elizabeth. He just changed the order. Because we want to have first Asaf. This was in our mind. But he gave us Elizabeth first. And after a while, we decide, okay, no, two, maybe we can have more. And during 10 years, we wait for have more babies. But never came. And now Andrea said already, no, now I'm not ready to have. So we gave up. I hope you not say now. It will be a big deal, but it's in God's will. But we wait for 10 years, waiting. 10 years. It never happened. She lost three on the way. She had an ectopic pregnancy here in Kyrgyzstan in 2009. Almost died. And it's God's will. One thing I want to emphasize here is the last word comes from God. And this is the best plan for our life. The best plan for your life. Mary fulfilled what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2, when say, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is the true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but transform by renew your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is what Mary did. Mary had her dreams. But she was able to understand that God's plan for her was superior to her. And she said, God, do you know? I'm here. Do what you want. Do what you want. And she could experience the perfect will, God's will of God to her. In our waiting for the celebration of the advent of Jesus Christ, I invite you to really follow the example of Mary. Offer your dreams, offer your life as a sacrifice to God. God, I'm here. Do as you wish. Use me as your wish. The second lesson I saw was that Mary chose to trust in God rather than fear men. Mary knew that the penalty for anyone accused of adultery was death by stoning. She knew that. But even so, she said to the angel, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to be fulfilled. We are talking about a 16 years old girl. But she was so bold. She trusts so much in the Lord. She knew. It's very easy for us because you know the story. But Mary had to wait 9 months. For us, it's like 3 minutes we read the verse. But she had to wait 3 months. And I just start to think that she became pregnant. And she started to walk on the street. After 2 months, 3 months, people start to look at her. She was not crazy to say aloud, hey guys, don't worry. I'm pregnant here, but it's pregnant from the Holy Spirit. No. Imagining in her culture, the shame. What the people are going to say, what dad and mom will think. Mary didn't know how Joseph would react, but Mary was ready to go against her culture, her family, her city, everybody, to fulfill God's will in her life. As I said before, this engagement last 1 year, and it was very seriously. And if anybody do something, be unfaithfulness, it's punishable for death. So it is because of that Joseph was planning to divorce her. In Matthew chapter 1:19 said, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people for their sins. One detail that I never thought before was that after Joseph had the experience to see the angel, or have after the dream, verse 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Why this is important? Remember the time frame? The engagement ceremony, the wedding ceremony, 1 year. The angel came, we don't know when, and told Mary, you'll be pregnant. So Mary was pregnant. This is the way I understand here. Joseph did not wait until the wedding ceremony. When the angel talked to him, accept her because the son is from the Holy Spirit. He just went there and take her home. She is my wife. This is my kid. Against culture, against everything, because he believed on the angel, on dreams. This kind of trust and obedience we can see later with Peter and the other disciples. The Jewish leaders had forbidden the apostles to preach the gospel. You remember that. But they kept talking about Jesus. And because that all was arrested and brought to the presence of Jewish leaders. And what Peter said in Acts 5:24-29. Peter and another apostle replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." God in first place. In Matthew chapter 10:28, Jesus teaches us that it is God you have to fear, not men. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We don't need to be afraid of men, but have to be fear of God. So what can we learn from Mary here? Don't be afraid to fulfill the God's will for your life in this country. Don't be afraid. Let God use you to fulfill his plan. Trust in God and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason of your hope and faith in Jesus Christ. This is the third and last lesson I saw here was that Mary sought support for those who were on the same journey of faith. It's very, very interesting here that after the encounter with the angel, we don't know exactly how long it was, but she went to Elizabeth. They were relatives, but from what the angel told to Mary, Mary didn't know about Elizabeth. Mary didn't know that Elizabeth was pregnant because the angel had to say to her, "Your relative is 6 months pregnant." A old woman that nobody said, "Oh, this tree, nothing come from anymore. Nothing." And why the angel told her, Mary, about Elizabeth? I think that the angel wants her to find support, to find encouragement, to prove what he was saying to her was real deal. And because after that, Mary go to Elizabeth to see her, to see if everything was the angel said to her was true. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. So when Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the Bible said that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So doesn't matter what you call, but I can see here was really a charismatic event here. Because Elizabeth prophesied to Mary. The Bible said that when Mary came and Mary speak to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, she, Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what Elizabeth said? Elizabeth prophesied in loud voice. What? "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her." God uses Elizabeth to prophesy, to give comfort, to give encouragement to Mary. Mary needed that. Mary was only 16 years old. Mary was going through a very difficult situation. She needed to be reaffirmed. She needed to some confirmation. And God used Elizabeth to strengthen Mary's faith to fulfill God's plan in her life. After that, Mary could come back with confidence and that she was not alone. She was ready to fulfill God's plan to her. Therefore, what can you learn here? God has a plan for everyone here. And many times we can feel overwhelmed with a lot of pressure from our friends, family, culture, and even ourselves. Therefore, we need to understand that we are not alone. In our journey, spiritual journey, we are not alone. We can't count each other to go together. We don't need to walk alone. We can help each other. So, what can you take home? This is the question. Three things. First, in our waiting for the celebration of the advent of Jesus Christ, let's offer our dreams in life as a sacrifice to God. Open your life and say, God, fulfill your plan in my life. I remember a story that I heard that in one church, a big church, and the pastor was preaching. In the end of the preaching, he invited people, said, if you want to give your life to serve the Lord, come forward, and I want to preach, to pray for you. And long people are not coming. He keep to invite, if you want to give your life to serve the Lord, come. And a strange noise happened, and one guy in a wheelchair came in front without legs, and he came in front and he said, Pastor, can God use a half man? And the pastor said, God prefer a half man who surrender all than a full man that surrender half. That surrender half. This is what God wants me and you. It's full of us. 100%. As a body, as a sacrifice to him, and said, God, I know it will be hard. I know it will be difficult, still difficult. But I'm here. I offer myself as a sacrifice. Second lesson, don't be afraid to fulfill God's will for your life. Trust in God and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks your reason for your hope and faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God to save all men. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You have to fear God, not man. Third and last lesson. We don't need to walk alone. We need to seek help and support to carry our cross. We can help each other to fulfill God's plan. One of the most beautiful moments in my life that I saw in a sport was in the Olympic in 92 in Barcelona. If I ask you, who won the 400 meters race, men's race, I believe nobody remember. But I know that many people here had seen, at least, one guy call a video, show one guy called Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond is a British athlete. He was the favorite to win this race. 400 meters. And he started when he was in 150 meters. He had, I don't know in English how called, the muscle hamstring, yeah, this stuff. And he fell. And everybody, and the doctors came to him because everybody saw his face, pain. And he wake up or not wake up, but he stand up and he start to walk to the final line, 250 meters. And from the middle of the confusion, the people there, one guy came. Short, came and held him. And the bard guard, the security, tried to put him out of him. And we saw in the video, he just said, like, leave him alone, leave him alone. And he holds Derek here and start to walk very slowly until the final line with him. That man was his dad. And the truth is that nobody here remember who was in the first place. Nobody here remember who was in the second place. But people around the world remember the scene. And Derek never will be forgot this scene. The scene when a father came and helped his son to finish the line. What I want to say here is I know that many of us will arrive in the final line hurt for people outside of the church, but unfortunately many will be in the final line hurt for people inside the church, people who confess the same faith, who believe in the same Jesus. But one thing I'm sure is that we will cross that final line. Not because me, not because you, but because one who call you and are walking with you side by side until you finish. This is the God we talk about. It's not a God who made us and sent us out and leave us alone. No. We will finish. Yeah, many will be arrived hurt, wounded. Many, many, many. But God will be with you. God will be with me. And God will help you and me to cross that line. To cross that line. Offer your body, your life as a sacrifice. Don't be afraid of man. Be afraid of God. And find support. Support in God. Support in us. To carry our cross. But most of all, God is with you. And he will be with you until the end. God bless you.